Hey, Stephanie.
Yeah.
You feel like doing another episode of RV Family Travel Atlas tonight?
Well, it's been a busy week.
It's been a long week for me.
Sure. I mean, we're getting ready for the holidays.
Big Christmas party tomorrow.
Yes, we do. We have our Christmas open house tomorrow.
You've been making chili?
I've got big pots of chili on the stove.
You've been making cornbread?
Cornbread's in the oven, rice.
I kind of ate a little too much for dinner tonight. I'm kind of sleepy.
Yeah.
I had like, should I say how many slices of pizza I had?
I don't know how many slices. I was in the kitchen. I wasn't paying attention.
I had four slices of pizza. Two of them were meatball slices.
I wasn't monitoring the situation.
And then I watched Yogi Bear cartoons with the boys for like 2 hours.
All right.
We cuddled up on the couch. I'm done.
Well, I think that we might need to soldier on.
Yeah, we've done 13 episodes in a row.
We have. And I'm worried about the RV industry if we...
Oh, you think
quit
it could
now.
Affect the RV industry
you
if we
know.
Stop? People just stop buying RVs.
Sure, like,
no RV Family Travel Atlas. What? No RVs
we don't
for
know what
sale.
To do. We don't know what to buy.
You know what else, too,
we don't
too,
know where
though.
To go.
You know, Serial ended this week. That great podcast, Serial.
Yeah.
After 12 episodes,
yeah,
we've done 13 episodes
we've done
already.
More episodes than Serial.
Yeah, we're an older podcast than Serial. What, oh, there's all those what, listeners out there waiting for the next great podcast.
They're searching around. They're typing into iTunes right now.
Maybe
like,
they'll find us.
What do I listen to?
Yeah. I mean, our podcast is a little different than Serial, but it's suspenseful.
Well, it's suspenseful.
It's exciting.
Yeah. You don't know what's going to happen next.
You never know what's going to happen
next. Are they going to have another epic camping fail?
Yeah. Will they have an ending?
Right. Will they end?
We have an ending on every single episode of RV Family Travel Atlas.
We
have thousands of listeners out there waiting for episode 14. Maybe we should just do it.
Let's do it.
How about a short one tonight?
Great. A short holiday version of RV Family Travel Atlas.
Half an hour or less, maybe?
Let's go.
Yeah, half an hour
Let's
or
do
less.
It.
Let's do it.
Everyone, welcome to this week's episode of RV Family Travel Atlas. I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Jeremy.
And we write about RV and family travel with our three young boys, Theo, Max, and Wes.
You can read about our adventures at livelylittlecampers.com, and you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
On this episode of RV Family Travel Atlas, we are sharing our four secret ingredients for family fun. Vacationing with kids can be a bit of a challenge, and we want to give you some tips for keeping everyone, young, old, and in between, entertained and inspired.
We are also going into the mailbag and talking about some of our favorite emails and Facebook comments from this past week. We got a bunch of them.
And of course, we have winners to announce. Who will win the two-night stay at the Philadelphia Westchester KOA? What lucky winners will be hanging up new prints this holiday season, courtesy of the Creative Action Network?
Listen to find out on episode 14 of RV Family Travel Atlas, Four Secret Ingredients for Family Fun.
One of our greatest goals as a traveling family is to find activities that everyone can enjoy. It is so easy for parents to get sucked into the world of the child, where every vacation is filled with arcades and amusement parks and large furry characters. Then there is the flip side of that coin, the classic stories about children getting dragged from historical battlefields to prissy museums, rolling their eyes and burying themselves in some electronic device. As parents, we believe our preferences and tastes matter. We don't want to surrender the next decade of our lives to our little Napoleons. Jeremy and I like hiking, swimming, kayaking, and great food. We want to enjoy all these things, but we also want our boys to be excited about our travels and to know that we respect their love of bounce pillows, playgrounds, pools, and camp store ice cream. It is a constant dance of negotiation, and we think it's worth it to maintain harmony and joy on the road. That is why we love, love, love when we find places that please the adults and children at the same time.
That was the intro for a piece that Stephanie wrote about Brook Green Gardens in Myrtle Beach, a place that we truly and deeply loved last spring on our Myrtle Beach vacation. And we loved it because it was the perfect place both for us as adults, a place that satisfied our curiosities and excited us, and also a place that the boys loved. There was an amazing playground there. Mm-hmm. There was educational things there. There were great statues and sculptures. It was kind of the perfect place for us, for our philosophy of travel. And I really liked that intro you wrote because I know, you know, that you've thought a lot about, you know, what types of places allow all of us to have fun on an RV trip, right?
Yeah, that became something that I started focusing on years ago. I think the boys were about two when I realized, oh, there's a whole category of activity
right
that we can enjoy on a very authentic level. So, for example, we all know the kids' stuff, right? We know the amusement parks. We know the splash grounds and the water
right.
parks.
Sure.
We know boardwalks. We know what falls into that category. And then you think of the adult travel things, right? Like when, before we had kids.
We would
think
go to a museum.
Before kids.
Sure.
Yeah, right? Like coffee shops and little artisanal
really
food
long
places.
Hikes.
Or right, difficult
right.
hikes.
Physically challenging mm-hmm. hikes or
yeah.
kayaking, whatever.
Exactly. So those two things are clear. And then we realized that you could sort of like fall into this trap of saying, oh, I'm just going to enjoy the world through my kids' eyes. Because that's
right.
true. You do. You do really see the magic of things through your kids' eyes.
Oh, well, and you can also burn out on doing those types of
but
things.
Then,
and they can burn out.
You also, as an adult, need to experience wonderful things and fun things.
Yeah, we want to wake up just as excited as the kids
yeah.
for that
Not
day's
just
activities.
Like, oh, this is going to be fun because the kids will be having fun.
Right.
But this is going to be fun because they're going to find something that they love and we're going to find something that
yeah,
we love.
And I'm going to toot our own horns here for a second. I mean, I actually do really think we've gotten really good at this. And I was actually looking back at our blog posts tonight, trying to find examples of some of our older posts where maybe things went wrong or an activity did not go well,
yeah.
or we all ended up stressed out. And there was definitely
yes,
examples
those.
Of those types of blog posts, you know, 2 or 3 and 4 years ago when we started this whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
But then in about, you know, the last 2 years, there's not really examples of those types of blog posts
because I
feel like we have found the sweet spot, which is a phrase
yeah,
you like
and,
to
use. Yeah, and I
mean,
you're always going to – right. To me, it is the sweet spot. And you're always going to wind up going someplace that – isn't thrilling. Like you're like, oh, I thought this was going to be better than it was or whatever. That's going to happen still. But the key is to know, like for me, I really feel like I know how to plan a trip now. And it's not about the website to go to. It's not about the right guidebook to get. To me, it's about understanding the type of activities that make everyone in your family truly happy.
Right. And it's not just that you know how to do the planning. It's just that the planning does need to be extensive.
Oh,
I think to
yeah.
some degree
well,
that we put a lot of time into planning. I think that's maybe part
yeah,
of the reason
well,
why we're
– you're more of a certain type about that with the campgrounds. And I'm more of the activity person. And I'm a little more slapdash about it. But I also feel like I have this general
– You know what you're looking
I
for.
I do. I really you know. Do know what I'm looking for. And I also have this real sense of finding the local version
yeah, but I think
of
just
things.
As a general rule, though, as a general
a
rule
bit.
For our listeners, you know, the more thought you put into the trip ahead of time,
yeah.
you know, you're going to have a better
mm-hmm.
trip.
Yeah.
Right? So why don't we go into our
okay.
four
Let's
secret ingredients
yeah.
for RV family mm-hmm. fun to kind of help you maybe get to that point where every trip is a blast.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we love RVing with our kids and we think that every trip can be great.
Mm-hmm.
So the first rule, and this is kind of a rule for those week-long vacations, the longer summer trips, not so much the weekend trips, is that we do one big kid place per trip, right?
Yeah. So here's the thing. You're going to blank, right? You're going to New Hampshire. You're going to Cape Cod. You're going to wherever it is you're going
to. Let's take New Hampshire for an example because
yeah.
that's a good example
mm-hmm.
of this rule.
So if you were planning a trip to New Hampshire.
To White Mountains, New Hampshire.
Right. You would look at the different guidebooks and everything and you would see quite a few.
Family amusement
of
parks.
Of those amusement parks.
You've got Santa's Village. You've got Storyland.
You've got Storybook Land.
You've got
yeah.
Clark's Trading
right.
Post.
Okay. So you would find all of these things start to, and there's more than that. Those are just like the big three.
There's
and,
water parks as
yeah.
well.
Yeah. And guess what? The price tag adds up on those things. Right?
I think the burnout level adds up on those types of things.
So to get in as a family, you're talking $100 easy. It's expensive.
Yeah, I don't even think those places were that overpriced. But if it's every day, then all of a sudden it becomes expensive.
Yeah, like if you wanted to hit all of those things. I think that what we have come to is to realize that we can sort of strategically position.
This is important.
One of those things in between.
Sort of in the middle of the trip.
We do. We do it in the middle.
And what we do is if we're on a 7-day trip, we'll maybe plan on day four to go to the water park or the amusement park. And we'll use it as a tool to encourage the kids to behave well.
Yeah. The boys
I'm being euphemistic. We basically tell the kids, you need to behave well.
We try to make them excited about it. It's not like we threaten them or anything.
I think that sometimes I will say, look, guys, if you're good, we will go to Santa's
Village. Yeah, like we're
looking
forward to this. It's just more of a motivating factor. It's like, oh, we're going to do this, right?
Something to look forward to. And then in those first 3 days of the trip, we can do other things that are more affordable.
And they're looking forward to that and they're excited about that. And they were like, Santa's Village, they saw on a map.
And hanging in our
of
garage.
New Hampshire. Because we had a map of New Hampshire. We do things like that to get ready for a trip. We had a map hanging
up. They looked at it all winter.
And they had those little pictures on it. And they saw that picture. Right. And they pinpointed that. They're like, we want to go there. And so we were like, okay. Like, that's the thing. Yes. They're five.
Well, looking forward to the trip is part of the fun. And that can extend into the time you're there.
Right.
Right?
So you still build that excitement.
Yeah. I always think when we get to Fort Wilderness, you know, which is high on the bucket list, you know, when we get there, I wouldn't want to go into the theme parks on day one. I would want to enjoy the campground.
Before they even get like a
for like two full days before they even go in there.
Yeah.
Partly to save money, partly to enjoy the campground. You know,
So we've done this quite a few times. We did this. We stayed in the White Mountains for a couple of weeks and we did it at one stop in the White Mountains. We did it at Clark's Trading Post.
We did Clark's Trading Post the first week and we did Santa's Village the second week.
Right. We did Santa's Village the second week. Then, you know, when we were down in Myrtle Beach,
we did one day at the boardwalk.
One day to the boardwalk and it was kind of in the middle.
I think this is important too. We also, when it comes to those theme parks or the water parks, particularly if your kids are younger, we recommend half days.
Well, a lot of places have a what they call a late admission.
Yeah, a lot of places you have found.
Deal. Dutch Wonderland has it.
Santa's Village had it.
Santa's Village has it. So it's something to look for because quite a few amusement parks will do that. So what they'll do is they'll say,
If you come in after three,
then your ticket is good for another day.
And it's usually a little bit less crowded after three.
Yes, it is.
And less crowded when they first open.
Yeah. And so this is great for us because we do feel like our kids kind of like max out at about 2 or 3 hours at those places.
I think that, you know, 9 to 12 p.m., you know, that kind of, that 3 hour stretch, maybe four. But there's no way we're
beyond
doing 5, 6, 7 hours at an amusement park with the boys.
We can't like get our money's worth.
Yeah.
Out of one day. Really, we can't.
But even
it's just a lot.
Even if you can't get that 2-day pass, I mean, you're tempted because you've spent money to be there for 8 or 9 hours. And I don't buy into that. I would rather really enjoy the time we're there and do the half day.
It doesn't work for us. But like, I mean, like some kids are like soldiers and they go through it. I know the people
older
that do
kids,
Disney.
You know, our oldest boys are
but
five.
But for us, it doesn't. And we found that being able to find places where we can split up that ticket entry is awesome. Because what we did with Santa's Village this past summer is we did go after 3-1 day. And it was so great because they got almost like a sense of
the place.
They did.
And they saw the things they wanted to do for the next day.
And it was good, but it wasn't even the next day that we went back because you didn't
have to use it
consecutively. It was just another day entrance. We went back a couple days later and they knew exactly what they wanted to do.
They were like experts.
What we hadn't gone to.
Yeah. So two half days over the one long day if they offer something like that.
Yeah.
Now, the second secret ingredient for RV family fun is to strike an everyday balance between adult activities and kid activities. So for those days when you're not doing the theme park, we like to kind of split the day into two, correct?
We do. We really kind of structure almost every day like this. And I think for us, we do push our kids a bit.
In the mornings.
we challenge them, or in the after, like whatever it is, like we just challenge them a little bit outside of the box and push them beyond what like the typical 1-year-old or 5-year-old.
Yeah. I mean, oftentimes when we're out hiking a certain trail, they're the only kids on the trail.
Yeah.
And when you do see the other family with young kids, it's kind of like unusual.
Yeah. And we've been up at the summit of mountains and people have been like, like,
yeah, what are they doing?
Looking
here?
At us, like, where, yeah. Like they come up at the top of the mountain and they look and there's this family of five. And they're like, what are they doing?
In our Acadia National Park episode that we did a couple episodes back, we mentioned that we think the kids behave better on a more challenging hike.
But also, we do have to deal sometimes in the morning. Like, if we're like, oh, we're going on this hike, sometimes the boys will give us blowback. Like, on the way to a hike or going on the hike. Now, once we get on the hike, the interesting thing that we always find is that our boys, like,
They get into it.
And they really enjoy it.
It's not like
themselves.
On the car ride there, they're excited.
It's not candy. It's not kid candy.
Well, and it's not Santa's Village.
It's not. Yeah. And we get that. And then we're not saying that if you do things right, your kids will wake up in the morning and say, Mommy, Daddy, can we go hike a mountain today? That's probably not going to be your experience. But you can train them. Like, you can train them. We tend to think it's fair to offer them the kid reward on the flip side.
Yeah, like, and oftentimes we do the hike in the morning or the kayak ride in the morning. You know, the activity that Stephanie and I love and want to do in the White Mountains or in Acadia. And then we tend to go back to the campground and it's time for mini golf, or it's time for the bounce pillow, or it's time for the
swim.
The playground.
Swim is a big reward. Like, I'm thinking, like,
absolutely.
A lot of our hikes, we look for hikes that might end up near a swimming hole or a lake or a beach.
Or we just go back and enjoy the campground that we've already paid for.
Yeah.
You know, so with the boys at their age, we do really love to use the campgrounds we stay at.
Yeah. And so it's not just about like saying, oh, well, this day we'll do something for the kids and this day we'll do something that we really like to do. I think you have to fit both into every day to keep that balance of like excitement.
I think it's worked perfectly for us. I do. I mean, if we go for the hike and the boys know they're going to get mini golf and look, frankly, I say, guys, if you behave, you know, we'll get mini golf. We'll get the camp store ice cream. It just strikes a very nice balance on our trips and it makes every day pleasurable.
And I think it communicates the message to our children too. Like, something that's very important to me is to say to them, we're all important.
Mommy and daddy are people too.
Like, we're people too. Like, what we enjoy should matter.
Yeah, I mean, it's easy for a 5-year-old to be, as you said at the beginning of that post, a little Napoleon.
Wow.
You know, I mean,
don't have empathy.
Well, they don't have the empathy gene.
Yeah, it's like developmentally, they're just not there.
Yeah, no, and I don't fault them for that. I'm not saying I was different as a kid, but you know, look, there's no way we RV 40 to 50 nights a year, and there is no way on earth we would travel that much if we weren't also having a blast every day. You know, I know a lot of families that will go on their 2 weeks of RV vacation, and it is one kid thing after the next, and that's all they want to do.
Right.
You know, they don't want to just continue to travel.
And we just have a little bit of a different perspective on that. Like, we really want to enjoy it, like, as adults, not just, like I said before, through the eyes of our kids. Like, it's not like, oh, look how fun, it's so magical, blah,
yeah,
blah,
I don't want to,
you know,
drive by all those mountains that we want to hike, and no, we're not getting to them, or I don't want to look at all those beautiful places to kayak. I mean, we find ways to get those things in and make them enjoyable.
And the daily, that daily balance, I think has, honestly, I think it's been, like, the magic.
Zen camping people. Yeah.
Well, we're not Zen.
No,
like,
we're not
come
Zen.
On.
That's
there is nothing Zen about our family. That was a ridiculous phrase.
Yeah, but you know what, though? A day where we get to do a hike or a kayak ride in the morning, and the boys get to do their just the playground,
It's our version of Zen. It's our family's version.
And as a matter of fact, I think they love and adore and flip out for a good playground even more because they hiked that mountain. You know, because all right, now we're back in our world.
In our world.
Like, you know,
we accomplished that thing.
I will never forget how much fun they had at the Lincoln Woodstock KOA at that playground. I mean, almost every morning we did a pretty strenuous hike.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we did 8 or 9.
We were in the White Mountains.
Yeah, and by the way, we're a future episode coming up soon. We're going to do a family adventure guide to the White Mountains. We were there for 10 to 12 days, mm-hmm. had a phenomenal time. So we did rigorous hikes every morning, and that playground was like Disney World to them when they got back. It was all they needed.
Oh, I love that playground. It was just
We're going back to that campground.
Kid world. Well, the kids converged from all over the campground.
Yeah, and we could see them from our RV site.
Perfect. All right, we'll get back to
New Hampshire in a future episode. So secret ingredient 3 for RV family fun is to find the right places to eat, to find the right restaurants.
And why does that get its whole, like, ingredient, right? Like, why is food its own ingredient?
Because bad meal out with kids can ruin a whole day.
Exactly. Here's the thing about traveling. When you take food outside of your home, parents know there is nothing trickier. Like, you are on vacation, and if you have to eat out every meal, or if you, like, it just, oh my gosh, it's awful. Like, even our boys are not nightmares in restaurants, and it still is a hit or miss.
You know, it's one time out of five that can be.
But you don't know sometimes.
You've written apology letters to waitresses on the blog.
I did write an apology letter to our beautiful waitress.
Janine, if you're out there, we love you.
Yeah. She was wonderful. Poor soul.
Yeah, and honestly, to me,
we didn't mean to do that to her. It wasn't her fault that we took three tired, hungry
kids to the wrong restaurant at the wrong time. Out also some really good rules for eating out. Mm-hmm. And what are a few of those rules?
So we've talked about this like on our road food.
Yeah, go back and listen to the road food episode for some more detail on this.
Right.
But
early
worth
on,
mentioning
we
again.
Realized that we could sort of explore local food culture, which is really important to us. Again,
it's since we were teenagers.
Family travel, right? Like, we matter. And we don't want to eat at
chicken
snack
fingers.
Bars.
No.
Right. We don't. We just don't want to eat, like, at the concession stands, at whatever.
At the places they want to eat, if they got to choose.
Oh, it's like a nightmare to us. Because when we travel to someplace, we want to explore local food
And we also
culture.
Don't want to feel sick the entire time we're there.
Yeah. So, the balance, the great part, everybody knows who RVs, that the great part about having your RV is having your kitchen there, right? You can easily pack a lunch. If you want to, you can easily make dinners that are familiar for your kids back at the campground. That's great. But then it took us a little while to figure out there's this whole world of food out there, right? Of like road food, where it's this local, great food, but with picnic tables
and
outside.
at lunch we have really become lunch people when it comes to eating out,
right?
To save money, not the crowds are not as bad,
right?
And it's
you don't
more,
have to wait, so that cuts back on the misbehaving right there, because everybody who's a parent knows
you know
the
it's
misbehaving
the it's those 45 minute waits
before the kids get their food,
right? So we liked we research this, we look in advance for places that have outdoor seating, mm-hmm. outdoor picnic tables,
maybe even lawns, like
absolutely
those places where the kids have a little room.
That lobster shack in Lincolnville, Maine is like heaven on earth.
Right.
The kids can run and scream and play and go crazy.
It is the ideal.
While we wait for awesome seafood.
Mm-hmm.
And then the White Cottage in Woodstock, Vermont. There was a huge open lawn by a river.
A river. The kids
were down playing in the river.
Yeah, down by the river.
Waiting for the food. So there are places out there. If you do, you know, you're not going to find those places if you're like in a pinch, like, okay, we got to find somewhere to eat. You know, you need to look in advance.
Wait, and let's extend on that just a little bit, because those places that we go to are usually off the beaten track.
Yeah, they're usually not the most obvious places.
They're not the place, yeah. And I never really thought about that so much, but like, or I mean, sometimes like the place, like, remember the trap door in Queechee?
Yes.
Okay.
That was a great place. Yeah.
We drove by and we actually passed it and we turned around and came back.
Well, you couldn't necessarily see that the back opened up.
That
into this.
Certainly wasn't in any guidebook.
Not in any guidebook.
It was just this weird sign.
Someone recommended it.
Okay.
I think someone recommended it to us.
But I just thought we saw the sign and we were like, oh, that looks good. Beautiful. Perfect food. Amazing Greek food.
Yeah.
Picnic tables overlooking the most beautiful view.
Yeah, and I think the thing with like restaurants that have the outdoor seating, like people that want more peace and quiet don't sit outside at the picnic tables. They sit inside, and it's kind of like, all right, let the families sit out there.
I don't know. I just find that we end up really sitting there and enjoying our food and being able to have a conversation, and we're not going, shh, shh, quiet, quiet, or stop, get out from under the table.
Yeah,
when you're in a restaurant, you are working on your children's manners. When you're eating outside, like, everybody's a little more relaxed. It's al fresco.
Yeah, if they, after 10 minutes, if they want to get up, they can get up. You can't run around inside a restaurant.
I think we have, even though we do eat in restaurants sometimes while we travel, I think we have come to the point where that is our ideal.
Yeah, lunch outside.
It is. It's
absolutely.
Like, we enjoy that so much, and we found that it works for us. And
so let's move on. Okay, our fourth secret ingredient for RV family fun is to know what type of activities work. Now, we're not talking about the big theme park or the water park, but those more daily types of activities, like that Brook Green Gardens, where it's something for everyone. This is where the family travel magic happens, where you find it's not that morning activity for the adults and the playground for the kids in the afternoon. It's the places where everyone can really be happy at once. And you've written about a lot of these places over the years.
Because it's taken me years to figure it out. I feel like I found a sort of category of activity. Like once a year,
a genre,
or so.
Sort of
a genre, right? And it happened very slowly over the course of our travel, where we would go to one place. And I remember the first time it happened, we actually went to the Maine Botanical Gardens,
the Coastal Maine Botanical Gardens, which is people love and adore.
Yeah.
The Coastal Maine Botanical Gardens.
The boys were two, and we were on our first longer RV trip.
Right. And we drove about an hour to get there, actually.
Yeah, it wasn't right around the corner.
It was in Booth Bay Harbor, Maine.
Booth Bay Harbor. But there was another thing. The interesting thing is there was another activity on the way.
The Railroad Museum, which was the classic car show.
Which seemed to me more kid-like and everything. And it was a phenomenal day we had. But anyway, we wind up.
But the hit was the Botanical Garden.
Oh, yeah. And the hit in the Botanical Garden was the Children's Garden.
Right. I mean, if there's a botanical garden out there that also has a children's section, we've found some pretty amazing places. I mean, this was a magical place like out of a fairy tale.
We were giving away family tickets to Longwood Gardens a few weeks ago.
Right.
Because this is what we found. Winterthur, we rave about Winterthur Gardens.
Yeah.
Like, these places.
More often than not, they do have a children's section.
Most of them do. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Brook Green.
Yeah, Brook Green and Myrtle Beach,
Maine Botanical,
Coastal Maine
Winterthur,
Botanical Gardens,
Longwood Garden for Sculpture,
yeah.
Grounds for Sculpture,
now,
which
you know,
is one of our local favorite places.
The average RVing family, like, let's be honest for a second, might not, you know, be looking at a botanical garden as a good option.
Are we horticulturalists?
No.
No, we're not. Do we really care
no,
about
I
all
kill
the
flowers.
Okay.
I mow them.
No. Jeremy and I, we do not really care about the different varieties of tulip.
I don't.
No.
No, I mean, I like to smell a good tulip.
Right, we enjoy a plant.
Yeah, but no, we're not those people that are walking around smelling the flowers and using the Latin names for them.
No. And even we love beauty. And once we see something a bunch of times, we'll be like, oh, that's the paper bark tree, right? Like now.
You might do that.
I do, right? Because I love it. Like now I'm like, oh, I keep seeing the paper bark and that's so pretty. So I'll catch on to names like that. You still ask me like what a dog is.
Well, I know what kind of coffee they serve at Longwood Gardens.
Yeah.
but I mean, like, we would encourage you to venture out of your comfort zone, even if you're the type of family that's like botanical gardens.
Right.
I mean, you might really have a blast
because
as a family there.
You as an adult get to just appreciate just beauty
and stretch your legs
and
get
it's
fresh
a beautiful
air.
Walk and it's
have the picnic lunch
and the kids are running and playing and it's no worries to you.
Yeah, I mean that playground at Brook Green Gardens in Myrtle Beach. Like I feel like we were there for 2 hours.
Oh, I
you
sat
and I
in
were
those,
sitting in
they
the sun.
Had the Adirondack chairs there and they had the pirate boat and it was unbelievable.
Yeah, and we sat and had coffee and sat and enjoyed the sunshine. And the boys just played and played and played.
And, you know, you want that on a vacation. You want those moments where you are, like, basking in the sun.
In a beautiful place.
In a beautiful place, right. Drinking your beverage of choice.
Right.
And places like that, like at Longwood, where the kids are, like, in all the water features and everything. When the kids are so engaged and having a good time,
mm-hmm.
and you get to sit in a chair surrounded by beautiful things with a beverage?
I got to be honest, and I think the kids have just as much fun at this type of place as they do at the theme park. And the ticket prices are usually less. The kids are not going to be begging for all the toys that are for sale all over the place because there aren't toys for sale all over the place.
There's not the souvenirs.
And there's not a million food stations and food booths around, too. It's a lower cost day. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like half the cost.
And most
or
of the
less.
Time, you can bring in a picnic lunch. Like in those kinds of places, oftentimes we do a picnic lunch.
Boys had just as much fun at the Coastal Maine Botanical Gardens as they had at a place that cost twice as much. Yeah. Now, what other types of places do we look for besides botanical gardens?
So Botanical Gardens is the one place that I felt like I was like, oh, this is what I'm going to search for
touristy
wherever
areas
we go
do
to.
Have one.
And now we do. The next thing that I search for is nature preserves.
Right.
Or nature centers.
Well, and children's museums.
And they're all three of those things I search for. Nature preserves and nature centers are a little bit different from each other. Like nature preserves a lot of the time have trails around them.
Right.
And oftentimes they'll have like
an educational element.
Yes, like a little educational center or house where there'll be little activities for the kids and everything. And sometimes they're so simple, but the boys love them. Like it'll have little bark samples or tortoise shells or things like that.
It almost tricks them into a hike.
They love it. They have a good time. It's a little break. Like they go and they the nature center, again, I'm going back to Myrtle Beach. There was the nature center at Myrtle Beach State Park.
Yeah, that was great.
They drew on that chalk wall.
Yeah, forever. That was a very quirky and creative nature center.
And we were wandering around and we were looking at the birds that out in the little bird garden.
And that was free with your admission to the park, which was like nothing, $5,
$10. Just walk in and they're great. And they usually have little volunteers there that love to do little activities with the kids.
And usually those places aren't crowded because everyone's like at the boardwalk in Myrtle Beach.
So I really like those kinds of like nature centers. Now, in addition to that, I have a whole other category of place I always search for.
The fish hatchery, let me guess. I thought you were crazy the first time you suggested we go to a fish hatchery.
You always think I'm crazy.
I don't always think you're crazy.
You're always looking at me like out of the corner of your eye like, oh, Lord.
Well, you end up being right. I mean, the fish hatchery in Pisgah National Forest, mm-hmm. like outside of Asheville.
How much did the boys love that?
Well, first of all, the location is stunning, right? So it's one of those things where you're just looking around at beautiful forest and beautiful mountains. Mm-hmm. And the boys, they loved feeding fish.
So
and it's like,
at most fish hatcheries, you can buy fish food. Like they have like
for
a little
quarters.
Like cat food,
it's like a
right?
little candy machines. Yeah. You put in the quarter and twist it. So what do you spend $4 or $5 on fish food and they're occupied for an hour?
Our boys, we don't even have to spend that much because our boys are willing to go around and scoop up the food that other people dropped.
Right. Yeah. So again, it's a low cost family fun activity.
All that leftovers. Yeah.
And in Pisgah, they had hiking trails mm-hmm. there.
They do the
an educational
butterfly trails,
center
yeah.
with educational mm-hmm. movies. I mean, that's a world class facility right. there. That fish hatchery.
But there's fish hatcheries in a lot.
Well,
of
we
places.
Did one in the Finger Lakes yep. and in Bath, New York. Mm-hmm. That was another really really good.
And they
one.
Had a little center there, too, that I thought was really nice.
They had an educational center there, too. Absolutely.
With some very interesting little, like, presentational, like posters and things. And I liked it in there.
Yeah.
I learned.
Yeah, but if you, I mean, stuff. The one in, like, the Pisgah National Forest one was, like, the best ever.
Well, and they've built, like, so much over the last couple years in that National Forest. Like, they have a whole forestry educational center and everything. And those kinds of places usually nowadays, the new thing is to do a lot of hands-on activities for the kids. So when you bring them to those kinds of, you know, it's almost like a museum for adults. Like, you're learning about the National Forest, but the kids have so many hands-on activities. They feel like they're in a little bit of a playground. So
you know, a recurring theme here, too, that I'm just realizing is that so many of these places that we think kind of hit the sweet spot are nonprofits. They're not purely driven by the theme park. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with theme parks wanting to make money.
Right.
But the botanical garden, the children's museum, the fish hatchery, it's not all about extracting as much money from the visitor as possible, which makes it a lot more relaxing.
Because it frees us up from the souvenirs and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, our boys.
And the expensive food.
Yeah, at a theme park, our boys want something from, you know, from the gift shop.
Yeah.
Right? Now, let's not blow past children's museums mm-hmm. because we found a couple awesome
Well,
children's
here's the
museums.
Thing about children's museum too. Like we're talking about the sweet spot, both adults and children.
I find a children's museum to hit the sweet spot.
I have to say, I think you'd be hard-pressed to find an adult that doesn't have a really good time at a quality children's museum.
Because they're educational on like an adult level and a child level all at once.
Like, it is amazing the things you learn. And also, some of them have like fun climbing walls and things like that you can do also.
It's like the Sesame Street principle, though. Like, they know they need to entertain the adults too, or else, you know, no one's going to come.
Yeah.
So my favorite was in Portland, Maine.
Yeah, it was
that was an amazing children's museum. And we spent 4 or 5 hours there.
We were there for a long time. And they just had fun, like the ball drop where you would like...
And the air would blow it through a tunnel.
And the air pushed it through the tunnel. You watch the ball go through. So we would like do races. And really, if you're a parent, you know. Like if you're competing with your child, if you're playing a game like that with your child, you get into it. It's fun. You don't just sit by and watch them do it.
Yeah, they're also... Yeah.
But then also they had the things like... The shopping areas,
right, where
the
kids could actually... Which was like sponsored by Whole Foods, right?
Yeah, they were all sponsored by different businesses or whatever. So, you know, the kids would actually shop and they could check out. It's just kind of fun to be able to creatively play with your kids in another kind of environment outside of your home.
Also, most children's museums are kind of visually appealing too and attractive. Mm-hmm. So we also highly recommend children's museums.
Oh, they had the musical. Remember that outside?
They had a really cool outdoor.
Like,
it was like this urban design, a big pirate ship outside.
But the kids could basically the whole thing was like
bang
tin,
on the triangles and stuff,
bang
right?
On the different instruments and everything like that. And we've been to a lot of these places. Down from, you know, North Carolina, we've been to places like that.
Well, we have also grounds for sculpture in our own backyard.
Yes.
Not a children's museum.
It's
but
not. It's
an amazing place that hits the sweet spot.
An amazing place because our kids can run around.
Why don't we just do a whole segment on grounds for sculpture at some point? I think we need
probably
to.
Should because grounds for sculpture may be one of my favorite.
The problem is,
there last
not
weekend.
A campground close by.
Well,
we'll dig around.
We'll talk. We'll think about that because that is the kind of place, and we'll talk about it later on, where we can say we would go there without kids
totally.
In a heartbeat. Like if we had a paid babysitter, we would go
and
there.
And I know this might sound crazy. I would go to the Portland Children's Museum without kids.
Oh,
does that sound weird?
It sounds so weird.
Sorry.
You know that that's not really an authentic statement.
No, I think it is an authentic statement.
So if we had a babysitter and we were like, let's go, we have the day in Portland, we would not go to the children's
museum. If I got lost and ended up there, I wouldn't be unhappy.
No, you wouldn't be unhappy, but we wouldn't. We would do something else in Portland.
Totally.
But that's the thing, is that the point is we do have kids. And so when we travel, finding things that we're happy doing, even though we might not do them anyway without kids,
right?
That's awesome.
It is awesome.
Yeah.
So look, those are our four secret ingredients for RV family fun. We would love to hear some of your secret ingredients for RV family fun. Go ahead, run.
We say, like, this is what we do. We say you do one of those big kid
touristy, let's just say the word
touristy
expensive
activities per stop on your trip, so the kids really get all like
and
magical
don't do it on day
starry-eyed.
One let them, you know, let them look forward to it for a few days
and look for the 2-day, you know, deal.
The late afternoon, early morning.
And then number two, every single day, do something that you want to do that pushes the kids a little outside of their boundary, and then also give back to them and do something that they want
to
do.
And utilize the campground to do so.
Hang out at the pool, go on the bounce pillow, play mini golf, do those things.
And if you do that, and if you're an RV owner out there, you're somebody that's thinking about RV ownership, if you do that, you're going to want to RV as much as you're going to get the most use out of that RV.
And then three, find your food stops that really help you enjoy the local food culture while not stressing you out about family dining.
Skip dinner, people.
Yeah. Go to lunch and find picnic tables
and
big open spaces. And then lastly, find those what we call sweet spots. Those genres of places where you are actually loving it and your kids are actually loving it. both at the same time.
And they're not going to be the top destinations in any given area. They're going to be more like the place that the locals probably go to be honest with you.
You know what? If you look at travel guides for people that are traveling without kids, there's going to be a whole slew of things you're not going to do in there. And if you look at the travel guides for families, there's going to be a whole slew of things. You're going to be like, wow, if I did all of these, I'd break the bank on this vacation. But then these are the things that you actually could do. Get a little culture, get a little of enjoyment. Your kids, they're not even going to realize they're not at the top.
Yeah. So listen, we do love getting the Facebook comments from you and the emails. It makes our week during the busy work week to get those comments. So if you have any secrets for RV family fun, any little tips or tricks that really help you maximize the joy and pleasure of your family RV trips, please drop us a note and we'll share them next week.
Yeah, we'd love to hear them.
And we'll be back in a minute with the mailbag. We're going to read some letters from our listeners.
Okay, so we are so excited to announce the winner of our two-night Westchester, Philadelphia, KOA.
Philadelphia, Westchester.
Okay. Aren't they interchangeable?
No.
No?
It's the Philadelphia, Westchester, KOA.
The Philadelphia, Westchester, KOA.
Which in many ways is our home campground.
All right, the important part is that Mark won.
Yeah, Mark. So we're going to get in touch with you.
Congratulations. We're going to email you.
And if there's like five Marks listening, it's the one that entered. You won. The Mark that entered. And if there's five Marks that entered, you're going to need to get the email from
us. We're really excited for Mark because you're going to have two nights there. And we love going to this
campground. Make sure, Mark, please make sure you go canoeing or kayaking on the Brandywine River. We have met people who have camped there, and I say, oh, isn't the Brandywine amazing? And they're like, no, we didn't really
go
out on a kayak ride.
Right, because you kind of have to go down. Yeah, you have to kind of have to go down the hill.
It's the highlight of any camping trip there.
Right, and you can snap a couple pictures and send them to us.
That would be cool, actually. Yeah. And then also, if you want some info on things to do in the area, look back at some of our very recent posts from the fall.
Yeah.
So congratulations, Mark. We'll be in touch very soon.
And we also have wrapped up our Creative Action Network giveaway.
Yeah, so we have three winners who are going to get to pick a poster of their choice from the See America series, which we adore and we've talked about over and over again, and we'll talk about it more in the future.
Yeah, thank you to all of our listeners who left us reviews on iTunes. They've been really nice reviews.
And if anyone else is out there listening, you know, we know there's thousands of you downloading the podcast every week. Those iTunes reviews really do matter for rankings, and they help us get some exposure for the podcast. So please drop us a review. We would really appreciate it.
So Melissa R, Karen K, and we already announced JP.
Yeah, so the three of you guys are going to get to pick a poster of your choice.
You wrote us an iTunes review, and now you get a See America Creative Action Network poster. They're
nice. Beautiful, and there's hundreds to choose from. Mm-hmm. So you think of your favorite place you've traveled to, and then search for that state or that location and pick one that you love.
Or some people might do a bucket list place. Like, we always like the places we've gone to, but you can also do a bucket list place.
Yeah, I bought one for Mount Rushmore.
We say that's okay.
I bought a Mount Rushmore postmark. I loved it so much. I bought it. You know that I bought it.
I didn't know that.
Did you tell me I bought it? I blocked it out.
No, you didn't.
Okay. So, guys, we'll send you an email, and then you'll just need to shoot us an email back telling us which poster you want, and we'll get that in the mail to you.
All right,
and thanks again to Max from Creative Action Network. You've been awesome, and we look forward to kind of, sharing.
We'll figure out something in the future.
Every time we buy a poster from the Creative Action Network, we're going to mention it and talk about it on the show.
We love it. We love the project. All right. So then on to, it was like a good week.
Lots of emails this week.
Yeah. Like emails that were fun for us to read and that were
I think our listeners are kind of fun people.
They are.
Because they're RV people. Okay. And RV people are fun people.
So, the first thing is Brett sent us a really nice...
Brett from Utah.
Right. He sent us a quick comment just in response to this week's topic. We always send out, whether we do
you put
a
up
camping
a blog post
question,
this week.
Or I put up a blog post just saying that we were going to be talking about, family fun and what that meant. And Brett sent us a really thoughtful response to that. And he said, when we travel, we always have my daughter's interests and ability in mind. We had to come to the realization that hikes and activities that my wife and I would like to do are simply not possible with our 5-year-old daughter. So as long as she is small, we see some activities as being limited. That being said, we are fortunate enough to have some family and friends that we occasionally camp with. This has allowed us to break off into different groups doing a few different things. Some might go to the lake and fish, while others head off for a hike. Generally, everyone is able to spend some time doing what they want. Add in some Legos coloring books for kids and adults, bikes and scooters, and we are all set.
Brett, this sounds really familiar.
Yeah, and we actually said, and this is what happens so often with your emails and comments, it gives us ideas for a
future topic.
Yeah.
Right.
And we travel with some friends. We have to get them on the
buddies.
Podcast.
Yeah,
we do.
Yeah, we're going to have them on the podcast one night. Hi, Joe and Ashley, if you're listening, we hope you are. And if you're not, now we'll know you're not listening because we just mentioned you.
Yeah, now we'll say like, hey, so did
but we
you
do,
hear
we
us?
Do a big trip with Joe and Ashley every summer, and we do weekends with them. And there's just a lot of benefits to camping with friends and family. So mm-hmm. we're going to do a featured segment at some point in the next month on like the benefits
of
camping
buddies. Yeah, and just
kind of
what you can
do
with that and how you can make it
Yeah,
it
changes the dynamic.
Best. Yeah. So that was a really good comment, Brett, and it gave us some ideas for another episode.
Yeah, definitely.
So
thank you, Brett, from Utah.
Now, I have to go like off topic.
It's not off topic. It's on
from
topic.
This episode
is a reader mailbag.
Right. So it really tickled me. Like one of my favorite comments and like that ever or emails that we have gotten was out of the blue. A couple weeks ago, we did our episode on, it was an adventure guide to
Acadia
National
Park.
Now, years ago, how many years ago now?
Four.
We went to Maine for the first time with our young boys. And we talked about this in our adventure guide, we found like one of our favorite places ever in the world to eat, which was
the cafeteria at the College of the Atlantic.
The College of the Atlantic. It was a cafeteria. It was a college cafeteria.
If you go to Acadia National Park, you need to pop
by
College of the
Atlantic. You have to go to the College of the Atlantic.
And you need to eat lunch in the cafeteria.
So
it's awesome.
It is a must go to place.
And I bet you it's not in one single guidebook. The cafeteria.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. We should look and see. Do people put places like that in guidebooks?
How about it'll be a secret just for us and our listeners?
Yeah. So anyway, we love this place. And we actually wrote a blog post about it years ago. And, you know, of course, we're really bad about this. It's not like we ever told them we wrote the blog post about them. We never do that. Like, well,
getting a little bit better.
We'll write blog posts about places and we never like reach out and be like, oh, we wrote about
people
you.
People happen to like being written
about.
Yeah,
well, we're so bad about that. So anyway, we never done that or anything. Well, I guess because of our adventure guide, they realized, somebody at the College of Atlantic realized they found that post.
Right.
And they read it.
Right.
And then,
they put it on their Facebook page,
which is nice. But anyway, a woman that works at the college, she wrote this comment on the blog post. It said, I love this entry. COA, College of the Atlantic, is the best, most student-centered college. The community is of the utmost importance. But I work here, I know. We are not communists.
Because we had called their cafe the Communist Cafe because of the unusually low prices.
Well, and everybody's like, you know.
It's very communal
Has to like work together and everything.
Yeah.
So she says, just idealist. Come visit anytime. If the dining hall isn't open, come to Tourette's. We'll have a picnic on the pier.
I don't think it's called Tourette's.
What do you think
I think it's Tourette's.
Tourette's.
Yeah, Tourette's is a little different.
Tourette's. So I don't know what that is, but we would look it up. So anyway, we did not think it was actually communist, and it was really a joke to write it, but it was such a sweet little note. And
yeah, so
then we
kind of went bounced back and forth
notes on Instagram, on Twitter, and everything. And the reason why I enjoyed that interaction so much was just because I feel like that was one of those early moments for
special
us
place
as a traveling
sweet
family.
Spot.
It was. We had such a good time there. Our boys were in
seventh
heaven.
Yeah, of course, a couple of little kids in a college cafeteria fit in just fine with the students.
It's like there's no difference between
yeah, no one's like, we wanted to be quiet here.
And college students.
Right.
And like the whole thing was just happy on all levels. And then when we return there, we're
serendipitous travel discovery.
Yeah.
You know, the moments you live for as an RV traveler.
Right. So to know that there are places out there where like this is a college campus and we're a family with three young boys and we're experiencing it and enjoying it and helping it. Like, it's helping us to experience the area. Like, I don't know. It just kind of all connected for me. Like, that's what travel's about.
It reminds me that the places you might love the most might not be in any guidebook.
Yeah,
and you
got
to
dig
around and put yourself in a position to kind of get lucky and ask questions and ask for advice on where to go and where to eat. Because you asked somebody, where should we eat?
I did.
You know, we were right there on the
Nick
campus.
Said, oh, you got to go to the cafeteria.
Go to the cafeteria. And we were like, all right, let's go to the cafeteria.
Yeah. So, and that's the way to do it. And that was an early example of that. And it's just been repeatedly emphasized to us over the years. Talk to people, get out of your comfort zone and say things like that. And you'll be rewarded, you know,
over and over again. It's a cliche, but the locals know where to eat.
Mm-hmm.
They do because they live there.
Yeah.
Okay. Now we've done two podcasts on we did one that was the pros and cons of pop-up campers. And then last week we did the pros and cons of travel trailers. And last week's episode bounced around the internet quite a bit. A lot of people were kind of sharing that. And we got a lot of comments over the last week about those two episodes and why people make the decisions they do when it comes to buying RVs. So we had a note from John, who said, my wife and I bypassed the pop-up altogether and went right into a small 21-foot micro-light travel trailer, but have been second-guessing our decision and wondered if we would have been better off with the pop-up with its own toilet and possibly a shower. Now, that's kind of counterintuitive, right? Because we were saying,
that's why I like this comment.
Yeah, I mean, we were saying, oh, we bought a pop-up camper and regretted it and wanted the travel trailer. I've never heard someone say, we got the travel trailer and then wanted the pop-up
camper. And John
camper.
Went into detail.
He did.
Went
that was
into
just part
detail.
Of his email.
About how they think about the gas mileage and all that stuff. Like, and he's like, you know, did we really need it? He was thinking about the noise, but then he was like, but maybe there were other fixes for that or answers
which
for
just
that.
Goes to show that it is a personal decision for each family. That's why they make all these different types of RVs.
But it also goes to show why most people find themselves in the situation of not being happy with their first choice, because it's hard to know.
You don't know yourself yet as a traveler.
You don't know yourself as an RVer,
right?
Like, until you get into an RV and then you're like, oh, I like this, I don't like that, which is kind of what we're doing here.
And it goes back to our advice to maybe not overspend on that first
one,
because you might not want it for
too
long.
And that popped up a lot in the other comments.
Yeah,
Karen, I like that.
Karen wrote in and she said, we just started to RV last year with a used 2003 Frontier rear slide. The hubby is very handy and pretty much gutted it and rebuilt it. The floor was shot. After there were still some things he could not fix to his liking, we are both architects who are very particular.
I would love it.
we sold it for a little more than we bought it for and put into it and purchased a new 2014 Shadow Cruiser Quad. So this is great. I mean, you know, buying the used unit, fixing it up, using it, kind of figuring out.
But they were like, yeah, it's not good for us.
It's not what we wanted. And they sold it for more than they bought it for, which is like our camping buddies, Joe and Ashley. So the lesson not to maybe drop big bucks on the first unit.
And we didn't do that. But a lot of people that did don't have the regrets, because I think that on that second purchase, they knew exactly.
And not to get technical, but when you buy a used unit at a lower price point, the prices stabilize and they're not going to decline
that
much. Or when you buy the expensive new unit, the second you get it home, it's going to depreciate more than a car. Okay. Now, also, we had a letter from Lisa, who said, we literally drove ourselves crazy for about 2 years deciding between a travel trailer and a motorhome. So much so that we even bought a 1976 StarCraft pop-up with the hopes of restoration.
I like this because it's a theme. It's like, that's what people do sometimes.
It is now safely in the hands of my middle stepson. However, there was a fateful day at the RV dealership where the opportunity could not be passed up. In almost immaculate condition, inside and out, for a 10-year-old motorhome with 14,000 miles on it, we took the leap. So they found...
So they're in a motorhome.
They're in a motorhome
now,
and they love it.
Now, she went on to say, she told us some details about their trips in the motorhome that they just got, and they're thrilled with it. And I thought...
And they've used it a ton.
I thought, we're going to reach out to them. For a motorhome.
If we do a pros and cons
of
Class
C.
Or we'll buy a Class C. You know, and we'll test it. And then we'll buy one so we can do the episode. And then we'll trade it and get a fifth wheel so we can do that episode. But the another point here that kind of pops into my mind, I think this is important, is and all the dealers out there and people in the RV industry, if you're listening, that these purchases that we make as consumers, they're a really big deal to us. They're like moments in our lives. Mm-hmm. You know, 2 years thinking about what they wanted to buy. I know we didn't spend 2 years, but it's a fraught decision. And that's why, you know, we love finding a dealership we can trust that's mm-hmm. low pressure and that we respect the people.
And it's amazing just with our interactions with so many people that we get to see their responses to the question of like, are you happy with your, you know, purchase and what you found? And we found that when, you know, when these people, so many of our readers or our listeners, when they find what fits their family, it's like
they found a home.
Awesome. It's like over and over and over again, it's, this is amazing. We're having so much fun.
I think in a lot of ways, it's like finding the right home. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, obviously, you know, your house is ultimately more important. You're going to spend more time in it. But your RV is your leisure time, your family time, your fun time, your vacation.
Quality time. You're like supposed to be having quality time.
I mean, I think a lot of people put just as much research and effort into picking the right RV as the right house.
Well, and again, an interesting flip side to what we were talking about was then what JP said. He responded on Facebook that, like, are pros and cons of a travel trailer, even though they were thinking about getting a motorhome.
Yeah, they had dropped us a note saying they were thinking about a motorhome because they had rented one in New Zealand and had a blast. And now he said after listening to pros and cons of a travel trailer, they might be leaning back to the travel trailer because they want to be able to just unhitch and explore.
Right, as we work through our issues,
yeah.
I think it helped them realize.
I almost felt bad after reading that. I was like, oh no, they were going to get a motorhome. And now
that's what you have to do. You have to turn it around and look at it from every
possible
angle of travel.
Yeah,
so that's great. If they realized, oh yeah, no, we really don't want to
tow a vehicle. I think
they
didn't want to be like towing a car with a, you know, with the motorhome.
That's been a catch up for us. So that's
great.
Yeah,
I want a Class C so badly. I just don't know if I want to be towing a car around. Okay, now we also got a great email
from
Jean.
Right, just before we started recording this.
Yeah.
All of a sudden it popped up. So,
can you read that one?
Yeah, sure. So Jean sent us a message on Facebook, like immediately before we were like recording this. And he said, thanks for the great podcast and information on Acadia. My wife and I will be headed up that way the Tuesday after Labor Day in 2015.
So, jealous.
Yeah, I know. Hope you have a great time. And then he said, we also have made the progression from tent, pop-up, hybrid trailer, and now a Class A motorhome.
And that's not that. That's pretty common.
Yes.
You hear a lot of people who just, they go through the pop-up, either hybrid or travel trailer, and then they go into the Class A or the Class A.
So he said, not that I can say anything bad about the earlier choices, but our motorhome has offered the most comfortable travel experience, and definitely more of a residential feel. Last year, we traveled around 5,000 miles in 36 nights.
Yeah, Gene, I feel you, man. I'm ready for a motorhome, buddy. You don't have to persuade
Jerry's
me anymore. Jerry's
going to like trot out your comment
residential,
to me.
Residential, comfortable.
Yeah,
we're in this thing. We RV 40 to 50 nights a year.
Right.
I want residential. I want it to feel like a second home.
And then that kind of conversation and hearing other people's experiences, I think, does really help you. Especially when your journey towards your next RV may be like over the course of 2 years. It really is. I mean, look, we're not getting a Class A.
Say what?
Right now. We're not.
Not tonight.
I don't want to shock you. But
well, they don't have the floor plan I want yet anyway.
You talk about it a lot before it happens. And hearing everybody's feedback really helps. So we just, you know, hopefully that gives you a couple more thoughts.
Absolutely.
As
now, we had two emails about the same topic this week, kind of out of nowhere.
This was funny. Two of these emails that we got this week, like I said, it was just like a week where they were fun emails to read. And two of them mentioned Fort Wilderness.
Yeah, and we're dreaming big
and
time
look,
about Fort
we
Wilderness.
We just talked about like, oh, you know, you want to spend one day a week on the whole – look, Fort Wilderness is a whole nother ball game. Okay, Disney World is its own animal, and yes, we are going eventually.
Like, eventually, hopefully within the next year to 2 years.
Yeah, the problem is we had the younger, you know, Wes.
The problem
is
it's far away.
It's far away. We just have you know, the boys are 5 and a half and they're at that good spot, but then we just had a baby. So then it's like, ooh, you want to wait a little while.
So Wes remembers the trip too.
Yeah. So it's like.
But I loved what one of them said about Fort Wilderness. Now, they went to Fort Wilderness on their first RV trip. And this was from one of the emails we just read.
Right,
but it was a later part.
Exactly, two of them.
Now, what did she say? They went there to Fort Wilderness for their first trip, and how did that affect all their other trips?
I think she had, like, ruined them.
Yeah, she kind of said, I don't know about ruined, but she kind of said, like, that Fort Wilderness was so awesome that it kind of, other places have disappointed them since then.
Yeah.
And I have to say, like, I have extensively read reviews of Fort Wilderness, and people talk about it like it's, like, utopia.
Okay, so we know one of our future podcasts will be live
from Fort Wilderness. That's right. Hang with us till then,
right.
People.
We will. We'll get there and we'll do a podcast from Fort Wilderness and we'll be like, woohoo!
And yeah,
like,
and, I mean, people that talk about going to Fort Wilderness, they talk about it in reverential tones. And then you also, like, people from Florida, you hear people that go there like 6 to 10 times a year.
Yeah.
I think one of the, I mean, Disney World's the
obvious. I don't think it's overrated. I mean,
I don't think it's
phenomenal.
And I think I know part of why people love it so much, because you get Disney World, but it's still at an RV park price. Fort Wilderness is like $75 a night.
Right.
We've spent that at places around here.
Yeah. So, yes, campgrounds can spoil you for life. We know that because our boys dream big.
Yeah, Jellystone Luray this past summer.
My goodness, like, that's, the boys. To go back to Jellystone Luray will be like their living dream, but that's just because they haven't been to Disney World yet.
Now, what was the cake topper of all the emails here?
So, we got this email. And hey, it doesn't have to be true to be sweet. Like, look, I mean, Don said, oh, you're mad at me for saying that.
Well, just go ahead and read it, and then I'll yell at you.
Don said, just wanted to drop you a note and tell you that I really enjoy your podcast. You two are so much fun to listen to and sound so full of love.
Now, when Stephanie and I were talking about this email tonight, she was like, that guy said that you guys sound like you're so in love.
I was so in love.
And I was like, no, I don't think he said so in love. And Stephanie was like, yeah, he said so in love.
What's the difference?
And,
I don't know.
And you were being cynical about it.
I
like,
was not being cynical.
Like,
I
we
was
don't
saying,
sound so in love.
How do we? Could we possibly sound so in love?
Yeah, we got to keep this whole RV family travel atlas thing, like, really professional.
No.
Okay. Like, people were married.
No, like,
okay.
We're like Looney Tunes with three kids. Like, how are we going to make this work? But anyway.
So Don, that was a nice email. We appreciate it.
It was such a nice email because I was like, oh, that's good that comes out in the end. Like, I feel like we're.
Yeah, but Don, here's the secret to this full of love thing.
What is the secret?
It's clearly RV ownership, right? It makes people happy.
So I think that is the point. Is that we go through all the same things that all parents go through, young kids, that it's just as frustrating and difficult. But at the end of the day...
Yeah, but at the end of the day, we're surrounded by mountains and rivers and lakes and oceans.
We've managed to do it in a way that lets us have these wonderful, like, memories and make us feel like we're really enjoying life
and
with
I think
the kids.
That the
and not just, like, getting through life
and,
with
and
the kids.
And these the four secret ingredients for RV family fun. I really do think they've worked. And the proof is in the pudding. Because when we ask the boys... But not just that. When we ask the boys if they want to go camping, the answer is always, always
woo-hoo.
Yes.
Yeah.
They are ready for the next trip. And what do they say now? They say, is this a short trip or a long trip?
We had to talk
because
about,
they want a long trip.
Max especially goes to
Max does not want a 2-day. He does not want a weekend RV trip. He wants a 2-week RV trip.
We've convinced him that medium trips are okay, but he still does not like the short trip.
So they love it as much as we do. They want to go on these trips as much as we do. And look, if you're considering buying an RV, we feel like your kids will feel the same way. And if you own an RV, you know it's true. All right, we'll be back in a second to wrap up episode 14 of RV Family Travel Atlas. So thank you so much for joining us for episode 14 of RV Family Travel Atlas. We need your help for a couple feature topics that we're working on. We're going to do an upcoming episode all about Airstreams. We want to kind of explore, you know, what is it about Airstreams that people love so much? Airstream owners are dedicated.
Oh,
they are into it,
it's
right? It's a club. It's a cult.
Whatever
it's
it is.
Not, but we want to,
we're not
honestly,
members.
We're not members of that club. But we want to know, like, what is it about an Airstream that you love? So if you're an Airstream owner, drop us an email or a note on our Facebook page.
rvfamilytravelatlas@gmail.com.
Yeah, and also, and during that episode as well, we're going to review a new set of dishes that we just got a sample of from a company called Camp Casual.
Yeah.
And they're these really cool retro dishes that would probably be perfect for that retro RV fan out there.
Yeah.
So we'll do a review of those dishes next week. And we may have an exciting giveaway to announce.
Oh, we will. We're taking a week off from giveaways this Christmas.
We had to catch up on all these giveaways. We had to give all this stuff away.
No, it's like, you know, it's like you lead up to the holidays and then you're like, okay, enough.
Yeah, and also we're going to definitely do a feature topic on buddy camping or camping with friends and family. So if you're someone who does regularly camp with another family or with friends, please tell us why you love doing that. What are the advantages of doing
that? And how you organize it. Like, we do our own thing with food.
Yeah, and if you
how do,
do,
you do
and also
it?
If you do any of the caravanning or if you camp with large groups, we would love to hear from you. Like, what is it that you like about that?
Mm-hmm.
All right, now Merry Christmas. Okay,
Merry
we'll be
Christmas,
back after
everybody.
Christmas. Thank you so much for listening to the first 14 episodes of RV Family Travel Atlas. We're in this for the long haul, and we hope you're with us.
And we'll talk to you before the new year.
Have a very Merry Christmas.